And how about that? We're live. Russ Farnsworth. You know, I was reading your profile, man, and it seems like you're a jack of all trades, you know, which is cool. And then there's me. I have a mullet. I woke up at 2:30 a.m. to smoke a heater, talking about the devil's lettuce, not a cigarette. And then I was just literally watching Teen Wolf before hopping on this podcast with you. So, you know, I want to ask you, how would you describe yourself to our listeners? You know, like what aspects of life do you find most important? Because you do a lot.
Yeah, I guess a creator or being a creative person, I definitely have had music and filmmaking as being some of the top endeavors in my life. I've always been very politically active and politically engaged since I was a young kid. I grew up in a small little town. We only got one TV station. So when the news came on, you know, I would end up usually watching the news with my parents.
Hell yeah.
So I had a lot of exposure to it. And I think a lot of those early experiences really shaped how I viewed politics later in life.
So what were your political views back in the day when you were a little bambino?
Well, I didn't really have many political views. You know, I'm a pretty, I guess, liberal-minded person when it comes to domestic policy and things. I think people should be taken care of, and that there should be money available to help people who are struggling. So that I've kind of been a little liberal-minded in that sense. I'm conservative when it comes to spending on or waste, I guess. I think one of the things that I sort of realized about politics that I don't think many people really realize or talk about is that we could really do all of the liberal programs, you know, that would help a lot of people and save money at the same time if we just, you know, got rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse in government. There's so much corruption and so much money that just falls through the cracks and then evaporates. And it never really goes to anybody that needs it. And so if we could fix some of those issues, we could really afford to have, you know, a good safety net for people and save money at the same time.
And yeah, it sounds wonderful. But like, I agree with you, too, that those are kind of like how I see things as well, as far politically. But when it comes to politics and money, I mean, man, how do you, it seems like money is the root of all evil, which turns people and into these criminals, you know, and people just do anything for money. And we've seen it over and over and over again. I'm out in Cook County and it's every other week. So you find someone's, you know, ripping off your taxes and putting it in their pockets. Like, I'm not even kidding, every week. Yeah. So it's a real problem.
Oh, and then they run for Congress and get elected.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, there's all kinds of people there's all kinds of people in Congress that have been guilty of Medicare fraud and, you know, all kinds of different fraud. So it's really a big problem. I think we can get money out of politics, just politicians are never going to do it because, you know, that's what makes them rich and makes them powerful.
That's the problem. So do we find ourselves with a system that'll never change because it's so deeply entrenched?
Well, I think we're in a very real danger of that, but I don't believe that it's beyond our control at the moment. I think that we, the people, can kind of take direct democratic action to solve some of these problems that politicians won't address. And I had an idea of basically coming up with a citizens' Congress that would be modeled after the Continental Congress. That was the body that was used to separate from England before, during, and after the Revolutionary War. So this is something that goes to our past, where citizens kind of come together, hash out the details of what the country needs. And in our current situation, since we're dealing with our own government, not a foreign government per se, then we kind of have a different beast, really, but it would still work, you know, if we came together and drafted reforms that would get money out of politics for good. there would be enough people that support that, that any politician that didn't support it would get voted out of office. And so that's what I think is really the wise way forward, rather than trying to rely on politicians and follow them. We need to kind of take the reins and identify an agenda that's going to benefit we the people.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but these politicians all started off as citizens, you know? Right. So it's like, how do you sift out the bad actors?
Well, I think the first thing that I would say is that anybody who wants to be a delegate in this body would have to be someone who's never run for political office before.
I like that.
And so that's going to weed out most of the the riffraff, most of the corrupt people, and really open it up for moms and teachers and doctors and lawyers and whoever, just regular people from society to kind of step in that don't have those corruptions and they don't have those, you know, ties to the corrupt part of government.
Yeah, people on ground level. I mean, some of these politicians are so disconnected. That's a real problem. Just they're so clueless about what happens in real life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they show it, you know, not so much in the recent past, but, you know, I remember seeing a lot of presidents, you know, that were surprised to find out what a gallon of milk cost or what a gallon of gas cost, and they just had no idea. Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, well, listen, I want to start off with some fire, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So today's Easter, right?
Right.
That's what they tell me. Happy Easter. I saw something that Joe Biden just put in. I don't know. I don't even know what you call it, but today is now Trans Day. Did you see that?
I did see that. Yeah.
I just want to get your take on that, if you even have a take on that.
Yeah, I don't really have much of a take, but I do think it's kind of weird to make Easter Trans Day. I'm not sure why that happened. And I think, wasn't it last year or perhaps the year before that he had brought trans people to the Easter egg celebration at the White, or the Easter celebration at the White House?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then the trans person decided to whip off her top.
God damn. So,
yeah, that's all weird. Sure. Yeah, I can certainly understand why people around the country would look at that and say, this really isn't right.
Yeah. What's weird to me is I try to look at it from like this long play on perhaps the Democratic side. So like, let's say next term, a Republican comes into office. Now they have to remove that trans day. And what's that going to do to the trans community? What's that going to do for, I mean, it's going to split us in half even more and more and more. Cause now he's going to have to go in there and undo that. And that looks fucking terrible.
Right.
Like, yeah, today's not trans day. Fuck trans people.
They took away our trans day.
Yeah. So you see what I'm saying? Like, you can see how that looks like optically.
Yeah. I definitely think it was a, you know, it was done for political benefit. But it seems a little weird to do it on Easter, though. I mean, that seems like you're going to turn off a lot of people. So I don't know. The people in government are not bright people.
No, they sure aren't. That's the problem, man. And yeah, speaking of not bright, I want to know, you had touched on this before we even started recording, like through email, but like the border control, the border issue, you were saying that this was happening way before Joe Biden was in office, before, you know, maybe Trump was in office, like so on and so forth. Back in like the 80s and 90s is when it all started.
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of the people who are coming to our border now are victims of our foreign policy throughout the 80s and 90s, where we went all around the world, especially in South America, and toppled governments, and we armed militant death squads so that they would come over and rule over the country. And those death squads would give U.S. corporations, you know, sweetheart deals to operate in the country, while the people just continued to stay poor and get murdered. And so now those countries are just so dysfunctional that there's just gangs everywhere. It's violent. And so a lot of these people are fleeing those situations. And climate change is another big issue. A lot of the people that are coming here, I know, were farmers that just can no longer really grow food on their land. And so they need to leave and try to go somewhere else.
Now, is there a lot of farming done in China? Because the what we're seeing is there's like a historic number of Chinese militant aged individuals pouring through the borders, the south borders. And it seems like a lot of their land seems to be by military bases.
Hmm. You mean their farmland?
Their farmland, yeah, that they're purchasing. But I heard different things, you know, like...
Yeah, like, here in the States, you mean?
Here in the USA.
Yeah.
So I hear that they're doing that for, like, growing marijuana farms to ship back to China, and they have slaves working it. But then again, I hear, like, these are militant-aged people, so it could be something coming down the pike about, like, an attack. So...
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely very interesting and something people should watch. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with China and the Chinese. I do know that in China, they did a crazy building spree maybe 8 or 10 years ago and just started putting up, you know, I'm building these cities that were just kind of ghost cities because there was nobody really to live in them.
Oh.
And then they were taking the people out of the farmland and trying to put them in these cities, but many of the people couldn't really afford to live there. So I don't know if some of these Chinese have been displaced because of that. The marijuana grow issue is definitely going on in this country where Asians, it's a lot of Hmong people, but I assume there's probably Chinese and maybe others, foreigners as well, that are running these big black market grow operations.
Yeah.
And that's causing a lot of problems here as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues, man. It's got me a little unsettled, I guess. And I was just watching this documentary on Netflix, something about the Cold War and the first nuclear bomb and how shit really hit the fan. Right, as soon as Oppenheimer, you know, I think it was him that created the nuclear bomb.
Right.
Shit went wild, dude. Everyone, there's a arms race, and now everyone has like 200,000 plus nukes or some stupid shit. I don't know if that's the right number, but just enough nukes to completely end the world over and over and over again.
Yes. You
know? Yeah, that's a real problem, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why we have so many nukes is sort of like redundancy. We have that nuclear triad policy, which means we need to have the ability to launch nukes from land, air, and sea. And so we've got to have different types of nuclear weapons that can be utilized from each of those, different places.
Do you think? I guess what are your thoughts on that? On having nuclear arms?
Yeah, it's a tough topic. I mean,
for sure.
It's definitely kind of done some good in the fact that it's probably stopped some wars that might have otherwise occurred. But people were like, well, I don't want to deal with a nuclear power or whatever. And so they just kind of backed down.
Yeah.
But then the danger of it is, you know, if they're ever, I think people will probably not have a bad opinion of nuclear weapons if we never use them again. But if they ever get used, or if there's ever a disaster, with a nuclear weapon, then it's going to change people's minds really quick. Some guy wrote a book about all these near nuclear disasters, and
they were showing it on the documentary I saw. Like, there was a couple of close calls where there was one on the U.S. side where the guy was manning the radar. And it was a false alarm, but he saw 2,000 nukes coming from Russia. And if he would have made the call to the president to tell him this is happening right now, we would have sent our nukes to Russia, and that would have been game over. That would have been it, because then they would have retaliated. Right. And it was like, he didn't. He's like, this can't be right. This can't be right. They would not be sending 2,000. They don't have that many. So he didn't call the president. And literally, he saved mankind, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was another incident where a pilot was in a bomber and I think flew across the entire country or like a pretty long distance and didn't realize that he had an armed nuke on the plane.
Whoa.
So, yeah. the nukes can definitely cause a lot of problems. And that's the thing. If we ever do start, even if Russia launched a bunch of nukes at us, do we really want to retaliate with nuclear weapons again?
I know.
I mean, we probably would. That's probably the protocol. But what are we doing? I mean, we're just further irradiating the world, contaminating everything. We're going to kill all kinds of people. I mean, if Russia does it and it, you know, kills half the population, do we want to respond and kill the other half?
That's what my thoughts lie too. It's like, do you really want to retaliate?
Yeah.
It's just bad news. So, I mean, yeah, then there's that whole argument about why nukes are bad. Like maybe for now it's keeping us in check, keeping everyone in check. But I mean, if someone's in bad health, like maybe Putin is right now, there's like lots of talk that he has some kind of cancer or something. Mm. And if he wants to go down with the ship, you know what I'm saying? Just like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah, that's would be a big issue if he is sick with something like that. I think he's believed to be the richest person in the world. Like he had stolen a bunch of wealth from the former Soviet Union. So as if he's in good health, I would think it would be very unlikely that he would launch a nuclear war just because he would want to spend all that money. He doesn't want to live in a bunker the rest of his life, treated
very
like a pariah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, if he was sick or Kim Jong-un or anybody else.
Right.
Yeah. It could really change the whole dynamic.
Yeah. There's rumors surfacing. Cause every time that they show Putin, he's got this swollen face, just everything's
I've
swollen.
Noticed that.
Yeah. So they're thinking that it's like the medication he's on to stop it. It's like it's very alarming. Is what they're saying, that he's not in good health. Yeah.
Definitely a concern.
Yeah. How do you see that? You know what? Before we even get overseas again, I want to keep it on the USA soil. What do you think about the immigrants that are coming here illegally and they're getting now? I don't know the full story, but allegedly they're getting paychecks to live here illegally.
Right.
Do you know anything about this?
I do know a bit about it. I've read a bit about it. I don't think it's a new program. I think it's the way things have always been done. It's just now that there's so many people, it's really shining a light on the entire process. So we have laws that require us to bring in refugees. Mm. And so if somebody comes to our border and makes an asylum claim, we have to hear that claim, decide upon it, and then decide if the person's going to stay or if we deport them back to their home country. All of these processes need to be streamlined because of the crisis that we have. And this should have started years ago. I mean, all of the courts, and there should be refugee camps on our border so that we can house these people and process them at the border without bringing them into the country and then having them, you know, run all through the country and we can never keep track of them again.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's something that should have been started a long time ago. But like I say, our politicians aren't bright. They don't think of these things. And so nothing has really been done.
Do you think they don't think of these things or it's intentional?
I think both. Definitely the Republicans right now like having this big border crisis because it looks bad for Biden.
True.
Democrats don't ever want to be seen as being hostile toward immigrants.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of both. But I think a lot of it, though, is just a real, real lack of vision for our politicians.
Do you think it's also like a voting mechanism, too, to get more votes for the Democrats?
I don't see that as being a big factor in it. And I think it probably will occur that a lot of these new people are, if they become citizens, will end up voting Democrat. I don't really think that that's a big driver of any of it, honestly.
Do you know anything about like the payout that they're getting? Because I keep seeing shit about them receiving $10,000 a month. I don't know if that's accurate.
I would say that's inaccurate. I think I'm trying to remember the figure that I saw. I think it was closer to maybe 2,000. And I don't remember exactly, but then I also read that they get phones and, you know, all kinds of things. So it's definitely a lot of money that's being spent. And I think it would be much wiser to spend it in different ways. We should be building refugee camps within their home countries as well. You know, like I say, our foreign policy in the past is responsible for a lot of this. And we could really eliminate a lot of the crisis if we had refugee camps and were protecting people within their home countries. It would cost a lot less as well.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. That makes a lot of sense. Instead of sending them to sanctuary places, I guess they're calling them like Chicago, which is where I'm from. We saw this nice ass, I think it was like a 5-star hotel, just be completely dismantled. And now it's like being used as housing for illegal immigrants. And they're just standing outside and they get these checks. And they, I heard they get to spend like $60 a day on food, on meals. And it's like we have, there's so much homelessness in Chicago. Just speaking from Chicago, I know New York is probably way worse. But it's a shame to see that we're not taking care of our citizens and we're taking care of immigrants first. Like what? That just seems ass backwards to me.
Definitely. Right? And I think we can do both. But it is a lot of money that's going to these new migrants. And like I say, the real wisdom would be in reducing what's spent by using the money in different ways, building refugee camps, streamlining the entire process, you know, moving courts and everything down to the border so that everything stays right there. You know, there's a lot of solutions out there. They're just not being talked about.
That would make sense. Well, I thank you for bringing that up because I have heard no one say that before. And that's alarming because what you're saying is fucking sensical.
Yeah.
It seems common sense. Yeah, that would make so much sense. Keep shit down there by the border.
Yeah. And that's why people really need to stop following politicians. They're not the best thinkers. The people should be guiding our politicians. But right now, the two parties come up with our political agenda, and that's the agenda we fight over. And most of it really doesn't benefit us in any major way.
Yeah, it's a real problem when, you know, you have only two parties in my eyes. And one of the sayings is blue no matter who. And I know the same shit goes on the Republican side too, but I don't think they have a catchy slogan like that. But I mean, that's just indoctrination right there. That's like ideology shit that it's, you have to think for yourself. You have to. Come on. Use common sense.
Yeah. And I think if people did use a lot of common sense, they'd see that the politicians aren't using their common sense and that there are a lot better solutions out there. I think all of our problems have wise solutions. It's just a matter of getting politicians to support them and to move them through the process.
It's become this team mentality, like my team versus your team, and that's it. And that's the worst thing you can fucking do. But I know that politicians probably love that because they can fuel off of that, right? And they know exactly what words to say, what's going to divide people, what's going to get your team members to rally around you and hate the other side. I mean,
absolutely. I mean, both parties are really, really entrenched with the power structure, the money structure in the country, these oligarchs that own everything. Do you think any politician wants to run afoul of someone who owns a big news network?
Right.
You know, or owns a big company that, you know, the guy might talk bad about him, the CEO might talk bad about these politicians. So they suck up to the worst people and really neglect the people.
Yeah. And, you know, I was never, my eyes really got opened after 2020. I think a lot of people's did, but it's like when you see some news companies that are like every commercial is brought to you by Pfizer.
Yes. You know? Yeah. How that can you shit, trust that news?
You just can't.
Yeah.
Some people still do.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Most of the country still trust the mainstream news.
Damn.
Yeah. And how do you trust a news organization to tell you the truth about climate change if they're funded by petrochemical companies?
Yeah. So
there's all kinds of problems with this. So I have sought out a lot of independent news media. I've listened to Democracy Now! For a long time. I still listen to them quite a bit. They're out of New York. That's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
The Bradcast is probably my favorite news show. They have a lot of great information, and they really focus on our election integrity issues. And so that's super, super important. And, you know, people got outraged and believe Trump lost the election in 2020. I don't believe there's any evidence of that, but certainly it brought a lot of people, you know, made them aware of the fact that we've got these electronic voting machines that are not reliable, and they can be hacked. They can be programmed to have a certain result. And so we really, really have to focus on these things and solve these problems, or we really don't have a democracy.
Yeah, there was that whole scandal about the how the Russians hacked into it.
Yeah.
That turned out to be completely false.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What are your thoughts on social media when it comes to politics?
Well, I think that social media is a huge tool that we could really be utilizing to create this citizens' agenda, you know, a political agenda that would benefit all the people of our country and not just the donor class. But unfortunately, people aren't using it that way. They basically use it to amplify politicians that they support and, you know, keep their message out there strong. But we, the people, need our own message to get amplified and to get forwarded. And so that's what we're not doing. We're using social media ineffectively, in my opinion.
There's Russian trolls as well, like foreigners that are.
Oh, yeah. And Chinese.
Right. Sure. Yeah. So that would be difficult to navigate that.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah. I think sometimes they're pretty easy to spot, and I do try to report them every time I see them. But if you go to their profile and they don't really make any posts and they don't have any photos of themselves, or, you know, it's just, you can tell when someone's profile is just paper thin.
Right.
And so I report them if they've been, those accounts, if they've been doing things or spreading misinformation.
Well, good for you. Yeah. We all need to start doing that. We could probably, you know, weed out some of these things, because that's a real problem. That's just cause for more division and, you know, just speaking shit that isn't true.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate that a lot of our country seems to be guided by things, you know, especially politicians and newscasters, but I'm sure people on social media as well. If somebody says something stupid, they're like, well, this person said it. And so I'm just going to say it's wise too. And we get some of the stupidest ideas amplified as if they're, you know, coherent ideas, and they're really not. I don't think anybody would have agreed with Trump's separation of children from their parents. Like, I think very few people in the country would agree with that policy as a method of deterrence.
Mm-hmm.
But since news people say, oh, this is a wise policy, we should do this, then I think it just kind of gave people license to agree with it and decide that it's okay.
Yeah, it's just these echo chambers, right?
Right.
Ugh, yeah, it's bad news. Do you think that we need like a complete overhaul of governance?
I would say yes and no. I think that our system is pretty good with, you know, two houses of Congress and the three branches of government and how that is all set up, especially with the checks and balances that we're supposed to have in this country.
Right.
And I think that if we just do a little of cleanup work around the edges, getting money out of politics, making ethics rules that are so strict that corruption can't exist, and making sure that we have election integrity, if we handled those three issues, we would do a lot to improve our country. And we would, you know, if we could eliminate corruption, that would eliminate a lot of the bad ideas, a lot of the bad policies, and a lot of the waste, fraud, and abuse, which is where most of our money goes.
What percent of politicians do you think are corrupt right now? If you had to put a number on it, what do you think? Because I know there's some people that mean to do a good job, but I don't know if that's before they get in, and then once they're in, then they come across people are like, well, this is how we play ball. You want to play or get the fuck out.
Right.
People that have been established.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really afraid to say 100%. I think that probably every politician has some some aspect of their agenda that is not really, you know, appropriate for the entire country, and that they're serving some special interest group. I would say that probably every politician has some, you know, some part of their ideology that isn't straightforward. But certainly the vast majority of the government is severely corrupt. Maybe 90% is really only in it there, in it for themselves and for their donors.
Yeah, that's a real problem, huh?
Yeah.
Do you think there should be an age limit? Because I've been seeing like these geezers that are 90s. I forgot who this lady was, but she couldn't even like sign her name or something, and her advisor had to speak for her at one of these meetings.
Yeah.
And, like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that was Dianne Feinstein you're talking about.
Yeah, dude. What?
Yeah, she was senator of California forever. And
forever, literally.
Yeah, she was a dinosaur and just so old at the end. You know, and Biden is up there too. Trump has never really been coherent or mentally mentally stable, in my opinion. It's bad. And Mitch McConnell freezes up all the time.
Oh, I've had beef with him since day one. Yeah, he froze like a couple times, like my goddamn computer. Like, what are we doing? Come on, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I and I'm not sure about age limits. I just wish that people would vote these people out. And I think that if we made some of these other reforms of getting money out of politics and reducing corruption, that these people wouldn't keep getting reelected. I think a lot of times people get reelected just because they've got a ton of money from their donors and they can flood the airwaves with their political ads and they can just keep themselves in office indefinitely. And I think
that bothers me is just that we keep seeing the same people over and over again, like who to vote for.
Right.
You know? Like it was Biden and Trump, and now it's Biden and Trump again. Bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah, and that's both, really silly.
You're not getting younger.
Yeah. Yeah, these politicians, I'm not sure that an age limit would be the best way to go about it, but I think if we took money out of the political equation, I think a lot of people would just realize when their representatives are getting too old and just vote for somebody else. But it's the money flooding the system that seems to tip the scale.
I just don't even know how you'd ever get that out.
Yeah. Well, you know, all the news networks, they use our public airways to broadcast. And internet companies use, you know, right-of-ways, easements that belong to the American people. So we really have the power to tell them, you know, you have to run political ads for free. Why should they make billions of extra dollars every election cycle just because they, you know, run these political ads?
I agree.
They should be free, and it should be a condition of them having a license to broadcast. So there are ways of addressing these things. We could make political ads free, and every politician could have the same amount of airtime and coverage. We're just not doing these things. And
what worries me is if we start to implement something like that, then people that are in power with a lot of money can then add laws, you know, to stop that from happening.
Yeah, I think they would definitely try to.
For sure.
Yeah, if we made any attempt to try to get money out of politics. But then again, you know, most of the people in this country really understand the corruption. They understand that money is a bad influence in our politics, and they want it out. And so I think that if someone was telling them, no, we need to keep the system as it is, I think they would wise up a bit and really push back against that. And I think we could get it done.
When you have a woman like Nancy Pelosi, who is, I mean, clearly doing insider trading, you know, and somehow, some way the hammer hasn't come down on her. I mean, the hammer came down on her husband. And that wasn't supposed to be a pun, but it really did. But like, how do these people get away with it? Like, what's that all about, man?
Well, it's legal. Congress exempted themselves from those insider trading laws.
What?
And back, yes, they did. And I'm not sure when they did it or if it's always been that way, but in 2012, there was a big backlash, and I was part of it, you know, writing about it all the time about how they were investing in the stock market off their insider knowledge and just getting rich. And they passed the Stock Act in 2012 that stopped the practice. And then shortly after, they repealed the rule and they just went back to doing it again.
Oh, Jesus.
So we already fought that battle once and won it, but we have to do it again and somehow make it permanent.
You'd think it would be permanent by now. Come on.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, people should realize that these Congress people are in there making these stock trades and then basing their legislative efforts on how much money they're going to make and not on whether it's really right for the country or good for the people.
Insanity. So,
yeah, that's absolute insanity. But again, you know, you've got this blue no matter who mentality and GOP all the way mentality, and people are going to stick to their party. We can't really move this country forward until we move away from that model.
Agreed. Yeah. Blue, no matter who. And I'm thinking maybe red till I'm dead. That seems pretty good.
There you go. That's a good one.
Trademark that, bitch.
Yeah.
Well, damn, man. I mean, shit. What are your thoughts on? You're very knowledgeable. I can tell you do a lot of reading and you take a passion in this. So I want to thank you for, you know, talking to me about this stuff. But I want to get your thought on if World War III is in the cards for us with the tensions across seas with Russia and Ukraine and how we're in a proxy war and all that, everyone else is getting dragged into it slowly but surely. Yeah. And Israel now and all that shit going on.
Yeah, so you think I expect the shit to hit the fan? Is that it? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, without a doubt, there's a lot to be concerned about. I try not to get too negative, but it's certainly wise for people to prep for the worst. You know, people should have emergency water on hand, emergency food on hand, maybe a place to escape to. You know, if they live in a big city and things get chaotic, people would be wise to have those kinds of plans. And I definitely have those kinds of plans.
Yeah.
So, you know, be prepared for whatever. I think, you know, everybody wants to avoid that, including most of our world leaders. So hopefully there's not a whole lot to worry about, but certainly it's something that could happen. And, you know, I think there's been talk about Russia using tactical nukes in Ukraine, and that would be horrible if it started. but a tactical nuke wouldn't irradiate the whole planet. It would just clear out a battlefield.
What is a tactical nuke?
It's just a smaller nuclear device, and so it doesn't have the range. It's not going to destroy an entire city, but it'll destroy a few blocks and kill a few people for miles. So with a tactical nuke, you don't have to worry as much about the contamination and radiation.
Yeah, the fallout.
Traveling across borders and really killing a lot of people worldwide. But if those start to get used, you know, now we've opened that nuclear door. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, excuse me, even more likely that there's going to be a warhead.
Yeah, talking about prepping. So you're big into prepping yourself?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I was super big into it, but I definitely, you know, read some articles about it. I did some prepping. I had a property in Northern California, 10 acres way out in the middle of the woods.
Oh, nice, dude.
Yeah. So I set that up with some solar electricity, and I had a lot of food stored there. If people are interested in prepping, one of the things I can tell you really quick is that, you know, if you can save dry food like oats and nuts, grains, flour, whatever. And if you do that, if you put those items in a freezer for 48 hours, that will kill all of the weevil eggs and other little parasites and bugs that might be living in those grains. So that's a good thing. And that way, you know, you seal it up in an airtight container. And then when you open it, even if it's years from now, it's not going to be all devoured by weevils.
Dang. All right. That's a good tip. Thanks. Awesome. Yeah. So when it comes to talking about prepping, like, do you think that an EMP attack is pretty realistic? And what does that look like if that were to take place here? Like, what do you vision?
Yeah. I don't know how to comment on whether it's really realistic or not. And I would assume that countries are probably trying to work together maybe to make treaties that they're not going to use EMP. Mm-hmm. And an EMP, for the people who don't know, yeah, is an electromagnetic pulse that can knock out computer systems, electronic devices of all kinds. So it can really disrupt things. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully governments are trying to make treaties to get away from cyber attacks and EMP attacks. What it really looks like, I can't say. I don't know that much about it or what the technology, you know, where the technology is right now. I mean, can they shut down electricity and electronic devices for an entire city with one?
I've read that everything comes to a stop, like even the cars. I know people think cars are ran on gas, but you have computers in your car. They will not work.
Absolutely.
So imagine just a complete standstill in a major city like Chicago.
Yeah.
Like how the fuck do you escape? How do you get out? Just millions of people on top of each other. The streets are crowded. You can't take a car. People are in panic. I'm sure there's going to be looting all over the place.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
terrifying.
Yeah. Well, and it's a good good example of why people should keep some emergency things in their car too. You know, if you have a weapon that you want to carry or a taser, maybe that would be good if your car dies and everything's in chaos and you've got to walk home. You'd want to make sure you've got a coat and a taser or a pistol or something to get yourself home safely. But yeah, it could be a real mess.
Yeah, I'd almost think that would be worse than a nuclear bomb, because I would just be dead in a nuclear bomb. If that hit Chicago, I'd be done for. But EMP, it'd knock us back into the Stone Age. People will, you think you know people, you don't know people. They will change on like the drop of a hat. They'll go back to their monkey ancestor.
Agree 100%.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so, it's not just weapons that we have to worry about either. You know, a meteorite could strike the planet and do a lot of damage and mess things up. So there's a lot of things that could go haywire. And it's definitely wise for people to be prepared for anything.
Yeah. What is the thing the sun shoots out?
Yeah, I forget, but I heard about that.
Solar storm.
Something like that. And it can also disrupt electronic devices.
Yeah, we're pretty susceptible, huh?
Yeah.
Fish in a bucket.
I think most of the major meteors that might come into contact with Earth have already hit millions of years ago. So, yeah, I don't think we're in super danger, and they are trying to track those objects. And then recently we also did we had a mission where we basically shot a rocket or something at an asteroid to see if we could nudge it off its trajectory, and we did.
How'd that work out?
It worked out. It succeeded. So nice. We do kind of have that as a defense if we can spot the object in time. So, you know, I don't think there's a whole lot to worry about, that people should be concerned with it every day, but kind of the beauty of things is if you prep for one event, you're kind of you're prepped for all of them. So it doesn't really matter what the disaster is. If you're prepped for it, you're going to get through it better than those who are not.
I see no harm in prepping either right now.
Yeah.
There's no, what's the harm? There's harm if you don't prep, but there's no harm if you do prep. That's kind of how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And any food that I would prep, that did expire after a time, you know, I would just kind of keep it on hand. And then when it got close to its expiration date, I would then consume it and then replace it. You know, so there doesn't even necessarily need to be any waste with prepping if you do it correctly.
Do you have a backpack ready to go?
I do.
Filled up?
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly I did it for hiking, just because I would go on these crazy long hikes in the hills of Los Angeles where I could potentially, you know, get lost and be there for many hours, or get, you know, chased by a mountain lion and get lost. And so I had this backpack that's got some emergency food in it and matches and some various things to help survive if I ever needed it.
That's cool. That's good. Yeah. So, and then how far would it be to travel to that place up north? Was that like if there were no cars working?
Yeah, right now.
A couple of days?
Probably several days.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky. I'm not even sure how I would do it. I'm about 300 miles away at this point.
You'd be in such good shape.
If freeways were clogged, and I'm not in good enough shape to walk that all in a few days. Maybe I'd have to, like, I don't know, head north until I found the first donkey and jump on its back. And then,
oh, true. Yeah, those will still work. So that's good.
Then trade it in for a horse.
Yeah, dude, there we go. We're back at it, trading.
Yeah.
So let's pivot over to diet and health, man. Talking about going 300 miles on a walk. How long have you been into diet and health for? Entire life? Is this something new?
I'd say, yeah, I was pretty into it as a kid. My mom grew a really nice garden. And so a lot of times, like, my favorite snack would just be go into the garden and pull out all these fresh fruits and vegetables and
make a big salad.
Yeah,
picking out a fresh salad and going back inside to watching the news program. All right, the one channel.
Yeah, but I definitely love my junk food too, and I do dabble in it every once in a while. But I think I read my first diet and nutrition book around 2005, so that's when I really kind of started to get wiser about it and have more information about how our bodies work and how our bodies interact with different foods and chemicals and things.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I'm at a place right now where I'm kind of dabbling into new food just because I'm 35 now. So my body's going through these changes. I'm very active, but I'm noticing that food is hitting me different.
Yeah.
So now I'm just kind of playing with supplements, seeing what my body likes, what my body can use as energy. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun.
Yeah. And food is definitely a major component of health. I mean, I would tell anybody if your doctor has never, like, asked you about your diet, like if you go and say, you know, my knees hurt all the time, and if they don't ask you what your diet is, I would say you probably should be looking for a different doctor.
Yeah, dude. Meanwhile, this dude's eating like 16 bags of M&Ms and 14 donuts, and your doctor doesn't even ask what you're eating, why your knees hurt. I mean,
right,
you're just
inflamed
from the sugar.
Yeah. If they want to write you a prescription from a pill, I think that's a big red flag.
Oh, that's what it is. That's what this country's become, a lot of it.
Yes.
Ugh.
So yeah. Industry like makes basically non-food that we consume, and then more industry issues the pills that fix all the problems that causes for it.
Oh my God. The perfect tag team.
Yeah, so people should definitely be trying to move away from that and trying to eat healthier food. And it's not that hard to do. I have a free program on YouTube that's called Old Fogey Yoga. And I don't have any nutrition videos up yet, but I'm planning to upload some soon. And that will give people a lot of tips about how they can make incredibly tasty and fresh, delicious food that is going to be good for their bodies. So that's a good thing to try to do. And like I say, you don't have to give up everything that you love completely. Mm-hmm. Just make sure that most of your meals are nourishing your body and not harming your body.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah. And thank you for mentioning that for all listeners and myself. I'll check that out.
Yeah. And if anybody has difficulty finding it or finding any thing I've been involved in and they want to reach out, my website is russandwatson.com. Watson is my big guard dog. And so I named our website after us, russandwatson.com. And you can email me from there. And there's also links to other podcast appearances that I've made if people want to look at more.
Awesome. Yeah. What kind of supplements are you on, if any?
Pretty much just vitamins.
Yeah.
And I do things like spirulina and moringa powder, kale powder.
What's spirulina?
I think it's like a algae, and it's like this dark green color, and it smells a little fishy, but it sort of has a fruity taste.
Be careful, you're going to turn into Swamp Thing.
Yeah, but you can throw a scoop of that in a smoothie, and you know it has a lot of great health benefits.
People That's good.
Need to try to make sure that they're consuming a lot of omega-3 fatty acids.
Definitely.
That's a big one. And probiotic foods that are going to keep the bacteria in your gut healthy.
That's a huge one that I don't hear enough about, is probiotic and your gut health. I think that your gut health has everything to do with your mind.
Absolutely.
Like what you think, if you're foggy, if you're clear, like your gut health has so much to do with your overall well-being. I take a probiotic. I think it's like 6 billion probiotics or something in this one pill I take every morning. Yeah. Just because, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on antibiotics?
Well, I think that we've been using them probably too much in our food production. So there's that. And I think that maybe we're using it too much on people as well. And I think that maybe, I think that there's evidence that maybe it's making bugs stronger, you know, that we kind of wipe things out with antibiotics and then they adapt and they come back and now they're antibiotic resistant. So, you know, I don't know enough about the medicine behind all of it to give a full answer, but certainly they can cause problems if they're not used properly, and I'm not sure that we know how to use them properly yet.
Yeah, the thing is, they work, though. Like, if you have a sinus infection, like a nasty one, and you take a Z-Pak for 5 days, it just wipes you out. But the thing is, like, that kills everything, all of the good, like,
right.
Probiotic in your stomach, in your
exactly.
gut. It just wipes out everything, man. And what I don't hear enough about is like, yo, take a probiotic while you're on an antibiotic.
Yeah. And I'm not, yeah, absolutely. And I always do that. Like if I have to go through a surgery or something and I get on antibiotics afterward, I hit the probiotics super hard after.
For sure.
And try to rebuild that microbiome. So that's super important. And you mentioned a sinus infection specifically. I had one, gosh, I guess it was back in the 90s, and it was probably the most severe one I ever had. And the doctor that I went to gave me a squeeze bottle that you fill with a saline solution, and you squirt it right up your nose. And I'm a type of person that doesn't like to get water up my nose, like if I'm in a swimming pool, but this is totally comfortable. Like if it's warm water, that's the right temperature.
Yeah.
It really doesn't cause that same burning sensation in your nose, but you can flush out all the garbage. And if that sinus infection is being caused by pollen or something, it's going to flush all of that out as well. And it makes your mucus a bit slimier or you know, waterier. And so it doesn't clog up your sinuses, but drains out easier. So you can do that. And I highly recommend it. I'm not familiar with the Z-Pak that you mentioned. You said it wipes you out. Does it like physically make you tired?
No, not really. But I mean,
it just wiped out the infection.
Just killed it like nothing. Okay. I was about to go to Japan last year, and like a week before I was going to leave, I got this nasty ass sinus infection. I couldn't breathe. I was getting a fever over it. It was really bad.
Yeah.
My doctor prescribed me the Z-Pak, and there's 5 pills, and I took one a day. At the end of 4 days, it was completely wiped. It was gone.
Yeah.
So, it, yeah, I mean, but it destroyed my bowel movement. Like my bowel movement was not the same after that shit. So I know that something went on with my guts. It was just, it killed everything. So
yeah,
I'll have to try that saline mix. I mean, my friend turned me on to that as well. I tried it once. It didn't work because I think the infection was just so bad at that point that I kind of gave up, went to my doctor, but I have some.
Yeah, when I do it, like if I've got a really bad flu or some type of sinus infection, I generally do it morning and night, maybe even three times a day, for those first couple of days. And it may take a couple of days to really start working, but eventually it will, make that mucus waterier and it will keep flushing out what's causing the infection in the first place.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you eat three times a day or do you do intermittent fasting? What's your day-to-day diet look like, I guess?
I do not fast.
No?
I'm a hungry person.
I get it.
I've always been, so I've never had an interest in trying to fast.
not even interest, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if I knew that it would really, really work and do great things, then maybe I would try some intermittent fasting. And discourage people from doing it. Just for me, I like food and I don't like being hungry. And so I think that if I was to try to not eat for several hours on purpose, I don't think I would be very happy with that.
Yeah, I get pretty weird too. Like my blood sugar for sure drops and I turn into a monster if I don't eat.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can certainly get hangry. What I try to do is eat six meals a day and they're smaller meals.
Damn, that's a big boy.
But what that does, like if you notice that, like you eat lunch and you feel all good after, and then a little later you start to drag and then you start to go into food coma, eating those smaller meals is going to help to prevent that because it's going to keep your energy level more on an even keel where it's not spiking after a big meal, and then dropping later and then spiking again. So eating those smaller meals throughout the day, you can try to eat every 2.5 hours or so. That's going to keep your metabolism more level.
Can you give us an example of like what your meals look like? Like what exactly?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly for breakfast, I'll just eat, a handful of almonds or pecans or walnuts and a couple of pieces of fruit. And I've gotten onto that cachava shake, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's got a lot of healthy stuff in it. It's all organic and a lot of things that your body should really have, chia and flax. And I can't remember everything that's in there, but it's a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's 70 different superfoods all blended into a powder.
Love and it tastes, that. Yeah.
It's pretty good. And you can make it taste better. I like the chocolate flavor with moringa powder. And I put in flax seed meal to help make it thicker and more, more filling. Because if you're a person that has an appetite, just drinking a chocolatey flavored drink isn't going to do much for you.
That's the appetizer.
Right.
Yeah.
And then with the vanilla, I put in the spirulina and psyllium powder or psyllium husk. And the psyllium husk does the same thing, it just kind of thickens it up and makes it more substantial. So it fills you better. The other thing that I do, since I have such a big appetite, is I try to eat a big salad every night before dinner. And so that just kind of fills my stomach up with healthy foods that don't have calories or a lot of calories. And, that fills my stomach so I can eat a small dinner and then I go to bed satiated and all's good.
That's a good idea to do. Have a salad before you eat some kind of dinner, so you're already kind of fueled up with this good greeny stuff. Where do you get your salad from? Is it, you have a garden, or is there a particular salad that people should be looking for that's not sprayed with shit chemicals?
Yeah. Well, I go to Grocery Outlet. If you've never been to a Grocery Outlet, it's a really incredible store. And it's been around for a long time. I used to go there in the 90s when I wanted to buy fast food and junk food. If I wanted to buy cheese and crackers or something, I'd go there. But in I'm not sure when they kind of changed their format of the store, but they started bringing in a lot of GMO free foods and a lot of organic foods, and yeah, all the prices are incredible. So I highly recommend their store, and they always have tons of organic food. That's where I get most of my salad items is from there. And I do try to buy organic. And even, you know, there's a lot of articles out there and things that will tell you that even if something is organic, doesn't necessarily mean you're avoiding the things you're trying to avoid, the pesticides. But I still think it's a good idea to buy organic and put the money behind that process, that food process, and make that more popular. And we should have all organic foods, you know?
Yeah, I try to buy organic as well. Just there's so many scares out there, man. And it's like every month. Well, here's the problem I have is every month, like a new nutritional scientist will come out and say, well, that's not good for you. That's not good for you. It's like you just said it was good last year and now it's not.
Right. Yeah.
So do you think that you should just try food and listen to your body rather than like being so focused on data, I guess, these scientists, because everyone's body is completely different.
That's definitely true. And I know that there's a lot of people that believe that your blood type may determine, you know, what type of diet is best for you. So that's certainly something to research.
Mm.
I haven't looked into that for myself, but it certainly wouldn't hurt anybody to know what some of these theories are. It's hard to listen to your body, I think, because when you eat something, it takes such a long time for it to have an effect on your body.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if you eat a big pizza at night and then you wake up and you're stiff and sore the next morning and feeling bloated or whatever, you know, that's pretty easy to determine what the cause was. But a lot of foods that we consume, it would be hard. It's really hard to know what the effect of it is on our body.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And you would have to eat it for a while before you figured out that maybe you shouldn't have been eating it in the first place. But, you know, I think that there's certain nutrients, like I mentioned before, the omega-3 fatty acids, probiotic things, certainly vitamins, minerals, proteins. You want to get all these things into your system and you want to try to find the healthiest ways of doing so. One of the things that I love about that big salad that I eat every night is that I pack it full of all kinds of healthy stuff. And it's all really flavorful. So I put usually an entire clove of garlic in it.
Damn!
A hunk of ginger root. Ginger root is really good as an anti-inflammatory, and so is turmeric root.
Yep.
So those things will help with your inflammation. A lot of our pain in our bodies is caused by inflammation. So if you're dealing with pain, you want to try to eat anti-inflammatory foods.
And yeah, it takes turmeric in a pill form.
Right. And you can sneak those foods right into this big salad. And it tastes good. All these things, the flavors kind of, they seem like they would clash, but they actually work together really well.
That's cool. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 52.
And how do you feel?
Well, not the best.
Scratch that. I'm just kidding.
I'll be honest that a lot of my entrance into learning about diet and exercise and fitness and health has been because I have a degenerative joint condition. And so my joints are just kind of wearing out prematurely. My knees
are you like a taller person?
Bigger person? Yeah. Yeah, I'm 6'3" and a half. So that hasn't helped matters.
No.
I have to bend for everything.
Ugh.
And my knees are pretty much worn out. They still work and I can still walk without a problem or without much problem. I can usually walk a couple of miles or a few miles, but you know, all the cartilage is gone in my knees and I've got a tear in the ligaments and different things. So I've got that going on and I've got 8 ruptured discs in my spine.
Oh, Jesus, man.
So yeah, that's all gotten me to really focus on how I care for myself and keep my body healthy when I'm dealing with all of these injuries.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes, but, unfortunately, that's what it takes. But I mean, you're probably so in tune with your body right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like I am.
Yeah. Imagine how you would feel if you weren't.
You know,
you're just eating pizza and pasta and meatballs. You'd probably be in bed right now.
Right. And that old fogey yoga program really goes into a lot of that about, trying to keep your joints healthy and maintain people's mobility so that they can stay fit.
Yeah.
Because if your knees stop working, you're going to have a hard time losing weight or keeping weight off.
That's my mom. Yeah. Her knees are shot. Yeah. Shot. And she keeps going to the fucking doctor to get these, I don't know what she's getting, cortisone shots, but...
Yeah.
The last one she got like really screwed up her knee, and now she's like waddling like a penguin. She can't even walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did the cortisone shot one time just to check it out. I'm not sure. I don't necessarily recommend it for anybody. I know that one of the dangers is that if you use it too much, it starts to deteriorate some of the tissues in the joint.
Absolutely.
It actually makes your joint worse overall. So yeah, if you can avoid those things, do. And doctors will only give you a cortisone shot every 6 months.
Right, right. I rolled my ankle so bad 8 years ago, and I didn't get an MRI, but I'm pretty sure I tore so much shit in that, and I couldn't walk on it. And just a few years ago, I got a stem cell in that bitch.
Wow. And
my ankle is, I'm not even fucking with you, back to normal. I do everything.
That's incredible.
It doesn't hurt. I couldn't walk on this ankle at all for 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing, man.
Yeah. I've heard that, the stem cell technology is really coming along. I think, I kind of looked into it maybe 10 years ago or so, and it was hard to get. So I'm kind of surprised that you were actually able to get stem cell treatment.
I was too. Yeah. I was really surprised. What was that?
Were you just able to get it through your doctor, or did you have to pay?
Yeah, I went through a specialist, an ankle specialist that was over here in town. I just reached out to him. I'm like, look, my ankle is like in such bad shape. They want to give me surgery. I'm like, I don't want surgery. Let me try something else.
Yeah.
He's like, well, we can give you a stem cell. I mean, that's new. I'm like, okay, let's try that.
Wow.
Insurance doesn't pay for it, so it's out of pocket.
Yeah.
But I mean,
how much was it?
It was $800.
Okay. Wow, it's so worth it. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, yeah, dude. That's crazy. Would have been probably like $2,000 and screwed me up.
Oh, probably more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, my dog surgery was $2,000 just to remove a tumor.
Maybe I'll go to a vet.
Yeah, I think, well, spines are really crazy, but I had my spine operated on twice and it was about $100,000.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, surgery.
Did you get infused or something?
Spinning. What's that?
Did you get infused?
I did have to get a couple of levels fused, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you should look into stem cells again, man, if you
absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I'm living proof. It worked for me. And I've seen a lot of results for some other people where it's been positive, net positive.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been hearing good things also.
Yeah.
About stem cells.
Well, damn, man. I appreciate you being here, Russ. Dude, you are a wealth of knowledge. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. If you want to take another second, let everyone know where they can find you. If you have social media, go ahead and mention your website again. You've got a book coming out. I don't know.
Hopefully there will be a book or maybe multiple someday. I haven't started yet though, really. But russandwatson.com is my website. That's russandwatson.com. And you can contact me through there. I've got links to music and different things that I've involved myself with. Most of my music is politically oriented or, about society. So it's just kind of another aspect of my political engagement. But yeah, all of that stuff is on the website. I look forward to hearing from anybody.
Cool. Awesome, man. Again, thank you. You're a cool dude. I appreciate you coming on here, man.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Cool. Everyone at home, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one. Peace.